good evening. Thank you for joining us this evening. If you would stand, we'll get started with our service. Brother Ellsworth, would you open us in a word of prayer, please? Amen. If you take your hymnals, it'll be hymn number 14, Kneel at the Cross. Number 63. What a day that will be.
Oh, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you.
I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah chapter 63. We're making our way right on through Isaiah, and we'll be finishing up there shortly, and be looking forward to where the next study will be. But we're in Isaiah 63 tonight. I have a couple of thank you cards I want to read. First one, To Pastor, Ms. Messinger, and church members, want to thank all of you for your love and prayers for Ken and our family. I cannot appreciate or express my thankfulness and love for you all. Your prayers are doing more than you can know. Thank you so much. Love in Christ, Sister Chin. And then this thank you card is from the Martins in Portugal. And it says, Dear Pastor, SNBT, says thank you on, or thanks on the front. And it says inside, your generosity is overwhelming. Thank you so much. It was such a blessing to be in your services last week. You made us feel very welcome. Words cannot begin to express our thanks for your generosity. We just want to say thank you for the following: the $2,000 for the building payment, $500 love offering, the wonderful gift basket, the meal, a place to stay, and the nice measuring cups that someone left on the doorstep, plus a $20 monthly raise. Thank you for caring for us. Sincerely, Lionel and Carol Martin, missionaries to Portugal. And so it was good to have the Martins with us, and good to be able to help minister to the Chin family. Isaiah chapter 63. Entitled this tonight, Isaiah prophesies judgment and salvation. Isaiah prophesies judgment and salvation. And we're going to begin reading there in verse number 1 of Isaiah 63. And you can follow along. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Boaz? This, what a glories in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in my anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness towards the house of Israel, which hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this time together this evening. Our prayer is, Lord, that you would take your word, minister it in our lives and our hearts. We pray that you'd give us understanding and insight into your word. Help us to see what we might be able to apply in our daily living even now. Help us to understand the future and what's going to happen at the millennial time when Christ sets up his 1,000-year reign and all that leads up to that. And during that, Lord, that you would just give us understanding, insight, and help us to grow thereby. We thank you for our time together tonight. We thank you for living in America, to be able to enjoy the freedoms we enjoy right now. We just stop and praise you for it. And we pray your will be done in our midst. We give you the honor and the glory and praise for it all. We ask these things in your precious name. And all the people said, amen. As we get ready to start, most probably already know that Mrs. Johnsher made it home Sunday night after they transferred her to St. Luke's to finish the surgery. She had cut an artery, tendon, and muscle. And so they took her down, did the surgery, and then took her home. And so praise the Lord for that, and visited with her Monday night. And she seemed pretty good spirits. And so we praise God for that. And then B. Cooper, they kept last night. The plan was to let her go home, but they kept her. But they're letting her out even as we're having service tonight. So remember to pray for those two dear ladies. So the first thing we see tonight is the God of Israel. And it's kind of interesting. We've been going along. We've been talking about the millennial reign that's going to happen and how all that's getting set up. And then we come to chapter 63, and all of a sudden we're reminded of the fact that God is a God of vengeance. And I'm afraid that we live in a day and age where people want to talk about the fact that God is love, and that's all they want to talk about. But the truth of the matter is that God's going to show vengeance. And he's just reminding the children of Israel. He's reminding those of the world. Here at Isaiah 63, before the millennial reign is all set up and fully going, he's just reminding them that he is that God of judgment. And we start off there in verse 2, and it says, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? And this is the Lord himself. He is dressed as a king, in his royal apparel, stained with the blood of his enemies. He is the victor. It is the Lord God himself. Now, we live in a time that might be easy to be distracted and think that everything's out of control. You know, that it seems like the bad is winning, that Satan is on top and Satan's winning. But you just got to remember the end of it. When we get to the end, it's all going to be righted, and God will be the victor. And praise God for that. He is the victor. We read in there in verses 3 through 6 of the righteous indignation of God. He says, I've trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will be stained, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And he's going to bring judgment upon those who've mistreated and misused his people. He's going to bring judgment upon those who have refused his graciousness and his mercy. And he is a God of judgment. By the way, we think about this judgment being handed out here, Isaiah 63. We know in Revelation chapter 20 that there's going to be the great white throne judgment. And those who have never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior will be judged that day. And so we just got to be mindful of the fact this is our God. He is a gracious and a loving God. He's offered salvation to all mankind. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He wants all to be saved. But those that reject him, those who would hate his people, those who would bring accusation against him and hurt against his people, they will be judged. And then we see in verse 7 and 9, interesting there. Matter of fact, we're going to reread it. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness towards the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are not my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his piety he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. And so God is the Savior. And we know the nation of Israel one day will be reestablished. God's going to come to rule and to reign. He will be the Savior that the world, we read last week in Isaiah 61, 60, 61, 62, that the world will acknowledge him, they'll turn to him, but there's going to be judgment that's going to be handed out because he is the Savior. And it's the difference between right and wrong. And wrong must always be judged. Sin must always be judged. Brings us to the second point tonight. And it's the Israel of God. The Israel of God. And we actually pick up in Isaiah 63:10 and carry on throughout Isaiah 64. In Isaiah 63:10, but they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit, because he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea for the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him, that led them by the right hand of Moses and with the glorious arm, dividing the water before them, to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble? As a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord causeth him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. And this is God. This is him leading his nation, Israel, his children. And he has acknowledged their rebellion against God. And we're kind of getting a replay. I shared with you last week how that, you know, we were just reading in Deuteronomy. And it's kind of amazing as you read through the Old Testament, you come to parts of the Old Testament that gives you a replay of all that's happened before. And it happens like three or four times as you read through the Old Testament. It stops and it just recounts it all. And you remember back in the Old Testament, that's the way they did it. They sat around the fires and they rehearsed those things with their children. And they told them this is what God did. This is how he created the world. And this is Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And he told they would tell that story. And anyhow, in Deuteronomy, they're rehearsing that. And here God is rehearsing about his children in the wilderness and how they rebelled against him. There in verse number 10, and they had rebelled against the Lord. It's acknowledged right there. Then, but they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. How many times in the Old Testament, over and over and over, we see the children of God wandering away from God, Israel wandering away from God, and God would bring judgment upon them. A lot of times it was another nation that he would bring in. They would make war. They would be led off into captivity. And, there'd be years and years in this captivity. And all of a sudden, they would get right with God and God would redeem them and bring them back. And so he's acknowledging their rebellion there in verse 10. And then verse number 11 through 14, we see their reflection. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of the flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him and that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble, as a beast goeth down to the valley. The Spirit of the Lord causeth him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. And so he's pointed out their rebellion, and now he's reminding them, hey, this is what I did for you. I led you. I brought you along. This is what I've done on your behalf. And he's just trying to bring them, pointed out their rebellion, pointed out the reflection that this is what I've done for the nation of Israel. These things will I do. And that we don't want to forget the judgment that's awaiting those that brought judgment against the nation of Israel. And then we see their the fact that they realize all that happened. It's a realization that happens to them. Here in 63, verse number 15, we read, look down from heaven and behold, from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory, where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our father, our redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. And so there's the realization that he is their God, their father, their redeemer. And verses in 64, verses 5 through 8, we read, thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth. For we have sinned, in those is countenance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, and stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquity. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. So he's just reminding them the realization that, hey, I am your God. I am the one who loves you. I am the one who has provided for you. I am the one that's taking care of you. And I love the analogy of him being the potter and they being the clay. And of course, how many times I've preached that or heard it preached about the fact that we need to be mindful of the fact that we are clay in the hand of God. God wants to make us in his image, and we need to stay pliable in his hands. It's a horrible thing when the clay would stand up and say to the potter, you're not making me that way. I'm not going to be molded that way. And you say, oh, that doesn't happen. Oh, yeah, it happens all the time. Happens all the time. God begins to mold us. He begins to work in our life. And it may be hard and it may be difficult. And all of a sudden, we don't want it. And we might walk away from Him. We might refuse Him. And God has to say, we're going to have to start this all over. But the sad part is many times the clay rejects the potter. And we want to stay pliable in His hands. And so the nation of Israel, formed of God, and God loves them, cares for them. And this is what He's trying to get them to realize, how much He loves and cares for His people. And then we see their requests. Okay? 63, it's kind of jumping back and forth. That's the way that it's all tied together. And 63, verses 17 through 19, talking about their request, it says, O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways and hardened our heart from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake the tribes of thine inheritance. The people of thy holiness have possessed it. But a little while our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They are not called by thy name. And so they're saying, hey, God, this has happened. These people have come. This is the issue. This is what they've done to us. We need you to intercede on our behalf. Isn't it good to know that whenever trouble or hard times come our way, we can call out to God and that He will intercede on our behalf, that He will stand up and fight our fights? Man, I'm so glad to know that I don't live this life myself. I don't go through the pain and heartaches and sorrows and sufferings all by myself, that Jesus is there to be my help and my guide, just like He's there to be your help and your guide through the difficulties of life. It's a sad thing when the Christian will turn his back on God and walk away from God and think that they can handle their own life themselves. We've got to realize that I can't even take my next breath by myself. Let alone know the right decision, the right way to move. And so we need to stay yielded, stay seeking God, and take our requests to Him because He cares for us. And then the next thing we see is to forgive and to forget all their sin. Verses 9 through 12 of chapter 64. Be not wroth, very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people. Thy holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praised thee, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself of these things, O Lord? Will thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? So again, the children of Israel turning to God. And they're talking about the decimation of their cities and all that had happened around them and all that where they were. And they were turning to God. And, you know, it's so important. If we wander away from God, we need to turn back to God. The nation of Israel, they would walk with God. They would turn and go away from God. God would bring judgment upon them. God would try to turn them around. Eventually, they'd wake up to what's going on. They would repent. They'd turn back around. They would begin walking with God. Listen, we need to walk with God. The more we walk with God, the less judgment, if you would, that we have to face in our life. I don't want God's judgment in my life. I want to walk with Him. I want to live for Him. When I fail, I'm thankful that I can cry out to Him, that He hears and answers my prayers. He forgives my sins. I love 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we can turn and go back to Him. We can turn and go back and not carry the weight of that sin. Turn and go back to Him and be put right back into fellowship with Him and back on the road of walking with Him. And so they're just reminding Him, God, we have failed You. We have failed You. These are our holy cities. They're a wilderness. Zion's a wilderness. Jerusalem, a desolation. our holy and our beautiful house, these things have happened. These things are gone. These things are laid waste. And they had no place to turn but to the Lord. I'm thankful that when it seems like everything in our life has fallen apart, we can always turn to Him. We can always turn to Him. Lord Jesus, we love You tonight. We thank You for this example found in Isaiah 63 and 64. We know You are a God of vengeance and judgment. We're thankful for that. God, I pray that we would seek to walk with You and know You. And we're thankful for what You did for Your children of Israel. Might we even stop and remember what You've done for us, where You brought us from. God, I don't want to go back to the way I used to be. I want to just continue to serve You and walk with You, be found pleasing in Your sight. I want to be good clay. I want to be clay that's moldable and pliable, that You can use to do a work that would be pleasing in Your sight and in Your hands. Lord, I'm thankful that we can cry out to You in our time of need, knowing that You hear and answer our prayers, just as the nation of Israel here turned and repented. They would come back to You and You would hear and take care of their sin, forgive their sin. God, tonight we want to walk with You. We want to be found pleasing in all that we do, that we might be a profitable servant to be used for Your glory. We love You. We ask these things in Your wonderful name. Amen. Would you stand with me this evening? I'm going to have a verse of invitation. If God's spoken to your heart, I encourage you to come. Brother Foster, if you would, lead us.
The Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Seated.